going to be finishing up the study of the biblical answers to everyday problems. I'll remind you that the last subject that we were looking at was the subject of anger, and wanted to make just one last application of that, and it has a little booklet devoted to it entirely. It's titled Angry Children, and it's understanding and helping your child regain control. Now, disclaimer here, I'm not singling out any child in particular. Any children or any booklets? very good. So, not singling any of the children out here as examples or anything like that. I won't repeat that for the microphone. This will be directed in a sense mostly to parents, but it's helpful for those of you who either aren't married or don't have children. It's helpful for you to be prepared, and it is helpful for you as children to recognize that that there are times that each one of us loses our temper, and that God has given you parents for a good reason, and one of those good reasons is to do exactly this, to help you to regain control, to react to whatever it is that's bothering you in a Christian way. And so as I direct a lot of my comments here this afternoon to parents, don't tune out if you're a child or a young adult. These are helpful for you on a couple of different levels. So with that in mind, I will just highlight the fact that the first half of the book, as most of these do, goes through a biblical understanding of the subject of anger in general, and then a little more specifically about the relationship between parents and children, and looks at some of the biblical understanding of that. We've already touched on much of that in our previous several lessons when I taught about anger specifically, and I'm going to leave that alone. You can check this book out and read more about it if you like. I'm going to go on to the second half that, as it follows that pattern, there's going to be practical strategies. And while I'll be citing and applying some biblical principles and verses, this will lean towards the practical side of things. Yes, Bridget?
Can we make sure to read Ephesians 6? I think some people
need it. the first verse there, or the children obey your parents one, or the you want the next verses.
Or you need a sword.
that is part of that is one of the passages to look at. So we'll get to that. So practical strategies, and I'll just start with an encouragement for you as parents to listen to your children. That it can be the case that when anybody loses their temper, that you can lose sight of what brought you to this point. And with someone who is wrestles with fits of anger, you can learn to tune that person out entirely. And there's a temptation to respond to their sinful outburst of anger with a sinful response on your side by failing to listen to them in general. Try to listen especially to the frustration or to what has led them to this point. In my last lesson, the last lesson on anger, there were some diagnostic questions for you to critique your own life and to come to understand what it is that's motivating your anger, and then to take steps to address that. Well, as parents, or as peers or siblings, you have an opportunity to help your children do the same thing, to walk through some of the diagnosis of what it is that has brought them to this point of anger. What are the frustrations? It may be fear, it may be jealousy, it may be a whole wide variety of different things, but help them to ask questions, to identify the root problems, and listen to your child. Secondly, the author, I meant to mention the author's name is Michael Emlett, the author suggests to look for ways to accentuate your child's strengths and to look for opportunities to enjoy that child's life. And here I'm going to cite the parallel passage from Ephesians 6. I'll cite Colossians. And would someone look up Colossians 3:21 and read that for us? Colossians 3:21. So whoever gets it first can read it. It's a sword drill.
Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged.
There are lots of really good applications here to think about. That, again, I think it's true that in the course of parenting that there can be a point where you grow weary of correcting a specific sin, and if it's anger or temper tantrums, it can be especially the case that you get weary of that and tend to cut that child off. And so looking for ways to accentuate your child's strength and to enjoy that child for who they are is addressed here in not provoking or exasperating or can't remember the word that your translation used there, Martha, that it has that idea of not tweaking them in the nose just because they do get angry and you don't provoke them to that. And there's a reason given to that, lest they become discouraged. And remember that your child is a child and that they're prone to sin just like we are, and prone especially to discouragement and forgetting the goodness of that child, forgetting to enjoy that child is a provocation and can contribute to their discouragement. That doesn't excuse sinful anger, but we're talking about you as parents and how to train and how to help them to grow. So purposefully design ways that you can do things together that are positive, things that are enjoyable. Find ways that you can show your children that you care for them. And I think there's a place for making sure that you show physical affection. This is in the context where it's the whole subject is about a child who has been sinful, and so there may be physical discipline that is involved with that, and it's very important to counter that, or not counter it, but to balance that with affection that's expressed in ways that they understand. And there are each child is a little different, but you need to show physical affection as well. Just to clue you in on this, boys and girls are often different in this. So your boys might like to get down on the ground and wrestle, and your daughters might just like you to hold their hand, or if they're young enough to have them sit in your lap, or to put your arm around their shoulder. Show them your love, and be cautious of exasperating them. Examine the way that you This is thirdly, examine the way that you speak about your child to others. Here's another verse, Ephesians 4:29. It speaks generally, but someone read Ephesians 4:29. Rachel.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, for it is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
That's good at all times, but here we're going to apply it to parenting and apply it to speaking about your children. In marriage counseling, I tell those who are preparing for marriage, the way you talk about your spouse in public is important. It goes for children, too. It's wise and proper to seek prayer and counsel and encouragement as you're going through a rough patch in parenting, but the way you talk about them, it reveals your heart as well, and the way that you speak about them can be slanderous, can be damaging to them. They may hear that and take only the negative away from that. They can be damaged just themselves, or you can damage their reputation in the community as well. So let your words be wholesome and build one another up. Look for ways to say yes to your child's request. We often say no out of a variety of motivations, and sometimes it's because we're tired. Are you going to say no?
Some of the
Well, you'll have a special homework assignment then to look for ways to say yes to their requests. It may be yes that says get a job, or no. You know your children, and you know their requests. But we can say no. Again, our hearts can grow hard and tired, and we can answer no just out of that sake, and out of that tiredness. And pray for your children. God taught us to pray for our daily bread, to lead us not into temptation, that your kingdom would come. And I'm going to apply those here in just a minute. He closes then by saying there are three areas where you need to model certain things. To model consistency, model simplicity, and model dependency. So consistency means to practice what you preach. If you're training your children to not lose their temper, practice what you preach. So you need to examine your own self to see if there are areas of sinful anger that are part of your lifestyle that you need to repent of. If you're wanting your children to show you respect, you need to practice what you preach and do that with your wife, with your husband, with their father, mother. Show that respect between the parents. Show respect to them. Don't be demeaning. Don't belittle them, and don't exasperate them in the discipline. Be consistent in expectations and rules. Make sure that your expectations are appropriate to their age. Don't expect them to act like an adult when they aren't. And don't change those rules day to day. Be consistent in your discipline. Don't let the standards slide or change. If you leave your discipline to be only when you're frustrated or tired, you'll find that there is a lot of inconsistency that happens. Model simplicity. Give clear and simple expectations and instructions. Make sure they're age appropriate again. And remember that in the midst of a temper tantrum is not a time, it's not a teachable moment right then. That it's okay to pause and wait for another point to go through diagnostic questions about their anger. Let there be a calming down, a cooling off, and then come back and pick it up and evaluate it and walk with your children through that. And finally, model dependency. And in this, the author has in mind our dependence upon Christ. And for all of us, it's easy to say, well, we can do this if we just bear down, if we just muscle through this. And I think that there's an element for those that are, especially children that are given to anger, of there's a control issue here, that they're trying to control their situation and it's got out of control. They're trying to control themselves or their brothers or sisters or the parents, and they just can't quite hack it. And they're looking to the wrong place. And at the end of the day, they need to see us as parents as depending upon Christ, and do that through modeling in the good times your dependence upon the Lord, and when you fail, repent and seek forgiveness of those that you have sinned against. Show your dependence upon the Lord for forgiveness as well. Then if you'd like to take this home and read it, he gives a couple of strategies for right in the crisis moment that I'll just run through really quickly since we're out of time. He suggests using humor that might disarm, to cooperate creatively. In other words, work with your child to, as you find out what some of the source is, try to help them understand the differences of what you're trying to accomplish. And finally, hang on to hope, because God is at work. Pray for conversion, if you're your children would come to know Christ. Pray for sanctification, for growth, for maturity. Pray is very important. I'll ask if there are any questions that we can quickly cover. I've gone over just a little bit, so I'll put this on the literature table if you'd like to check that out. Let's close in prayer. Lord, as we draw this subject to a close today, we confess, Lord, that it can often seem to be a monumental work that needs to be done to. For anger in general is a hard issue to get to respond to in a Christian way for ourselves, let alone helping our children to do that. But we do ask, God, that you would help us to teach us, to teach our children to navigate their emotions, their fears, their desires, their sins, and that you would help us to to teach them, to train them to respond in a Christian fashion to all of those things. And Lord, in the midst of all of that, I pray that you would help us to recognize our own responsibilities and our own responses to our children. I pray that you would give us grace so that we would be able to put this into practice, that we would not provoke our children or exasperate them, that they would not become discouraged. Instead, Lord, we pray that they would be like the arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, that they would stand with us as they grow and mature. They would stand with us against enemies in the gate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.